This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
So we've had rain, steady rain. The wind's been blowing in here a little bit. It's brisk. It's like a perfect fall day if you want to go run a 6K. But we're not. We're going to sit right here in these chairs until we get in the Chariot of Champions. But appreciate Sean Carlson stopping by, kind of educating us a little bit what to expect at 10 and 11 a.m. this morning.
Do you move your arms or don't move your arms?
No, I think Sean's just like, hey, these guys will run. I mean, he talked about his guys are up at 7 a.m. already. And like,
already running.
What are we doing?
You're about to run, but go run more.
Yeah, just like an appetizer.
You got
to
love it.
But it's going to be good. And again, we look forward. We'll drive around in the golf cart here. It's not really a golf cart. Like I said, it's the Chariot of Champions. But we got football in the brain, right? We talked about North Carolina's coming here to South Bend for a big game tomorrow. Sam Howell and company. It's also the last weekend that teams can impress the College Football Playoff Committee, because, Mac, guess what? On Tuesday night, the poll, the only poll that matters,
finally,
is unveiled. And so, you know, if your team's like Wake Forest and Pittsburgh and maybe NC State, who was on the fringe of the AP Top 25, you got a chance to impress the judges this week.
You really do. And we talk about eye tests. Some people love it. Some people hate it. This is where it can really get you going. And what is interesting to remember and what's going to be interesting to see is that, you know, this poll that we've been seeing, the AP poll, doesn't mean anything.
It means nothing.
And the College Football Playoff guys, they don't pay attention to it. They're going to have their own poll. So you might see a Cincinnati, who's been number two for a couple of weeks in a row here, they might end up at five. They might end up at six. We have no clue where these folks are going to be. Wake Forest is at 13. They might be at six or seven from the College Football Playoff standpoint. So it's going to be very interesting to see where this committee is, what they value, and I think we'll find that out from these first rankings.
I think Tuesday night the most important question is where is Cincinnati, but that doesn't have anything to do with the ACC.
That's
for the afternoon show. To me, that's going to be the million-dollar question. Is the committee look upon Cincinnati as one of the top four teams? Are they a top two team? Are they on the outside looking in? They did win here in South Bend. They knocked off Notre Dame and snapped their winning streak. It's a really good club. But as far as the ACC goes, let's talk about teams that we know are ranked and have a chance to impress the judges. Let's first start with Pittsburgh. Big win last week, right? Kenny Pickett, you heard Dabo Swinney talking about with our interview with him yesterday. Huge win. Pitt cracks the top 20. Pat Narduzzi's like, hey, I don't want to hear about any outside noise. We got to get ready for Miami. The Canes have beaten Pitt three consecutive times, and they're coming off their biggest win of the year, knocking off NC State last weekend.
Yeah, so the biggest thing that we're looking at here is don't have a letdown.
Right.
You had a massive game. You looked fantastic against Tennessee, and then you lose to Western Michigan. So that kind of feels like this same spot, but you have to think, okay, that's done with. We had our slip-up. We had our letdown. This team has an unbelievable focus now. They have the senior leadership, Kenny Pickett and the boys. They're just saying, hey, we're not going to let that happen. And I think really when you look at Pittsburgh, this defense has gotten so much better since that game. And you know, really getting back to their old ways, who they are, what they want to do, getting after the quarterback and getting TFLs as the weather's picking up here. We're getting a little wind. We're getting soaked and we're in a tent. But you love it. You love this environment. But that's what I'm seeing from Pitt. And, you know, those guys really, really turning it up defensively.
I felt like we were on a ship for a second ago. Like, all of a sudden, high tide just hit us from the bow. You're right, though, about Pitt. And you know, I think the flip side, too, if you're Miami. You know, I think about your partner up there, Mark Richt, on the huddle. It was in, what, 2017. He had Miami rolling, turnover chain, undefeated. Life is good. The U is back. All that stuff.
Number two in the country.
Number two and making a road trip to Pittsburgh. And, oh, by the way, the guy that started that game for Pitt, some old freshman trying to figure it out, Kenny Pickett. And what happened? Pitt knocked off Miami, and it wasn't the same for the Canes. They eventually got to the ACC Championship, got smoked by the Tigers. But it was Miami feeling good about life, and Pitt with the surprise. Kane's going to try to do return the favor.
That's right. And you know, they're playing with this new confidence that we're seeing. And it just goes to show you how important quarterback play truly is. And when you have a guy that is feeling good about himself, that'll resonate throughout the entire team. And so now we're seeing, okay, was that a one-off performance? Or is it something that'll be repeatable? Is it a glimpse of the Canes' future and what we can come to expect? One other guy that I'm really interested to see, Pac, and his continued development and production – Charleston Rambo.
Yeah.
He finally had that game that I expected to see more often than not. Can he maybe sneak into a first All-ACC team opportunity there? We know that recent bias is a thing. If he finishes this season with a couple of 150-yard plus games, I don't think there's any question that he could slide in that list.
And let's also note, too, when Pitt plays you defensively, man coverage, uptight, they're going to dare you to say, hey, guess what? You want to challenge us downfield? It's a 50-50 ball every time you throw it. I was impressed with Van Dyke last week. He talked it, then he walked it against NC State. No turnovers, 325 yards throwing it. They've got speed. They've got options on the perimeter. I think Van Dyke's going to test Pitt's secondary and say, guess what? We'll take that chance and let's go.
Especially with the confidence that we're seeing from him. And, just being able to deliver strikes, dropping balls in the basket, made a couple of really competitive plays against NC State. And, another part of this Miami team pack is the tackling. The defensive side of the ball. Right. To start, and now they've gotten so much better. Right. If I sit here and tell you, all right, we only missed 10 tackles last week, you'd be like, man, what are you doing? That is a dramatic increase for the – and it was noticeable. I mean, NC State, they were getting in the backfield. They were making plays happen against the Wolfpack there, and we had not seen that all year long. So, okay, now if we can affect Kenny, if we can get him off of his spot and instead of his eyes up here, get him down and looking at us, you might have a chance. But I think that's what they're going to have to do is confuse Kenny and make him not comfortable in the backfield.
On a total separate topic regarding this game, you know what else I'm interested to watch? The crowd.
Yes.
I thought that the Pitt fans last week were out of sight. All of a sudden, when you watch the Pitt game, you weren't blinded by yellow Heinz mustard seats, right? Folks were into it. They were dialed in. People were fired up. The crowd was a factor, I thought, last week early. Is that a spike? Or is the folks in Pittsburgh, it's a great football town, right, with the Steelers and so forth. They appreciate good football. Pitt's playing great. They're ranked 17th in the country. Do they show up and say, guess what? Oh, man, Miami's coming to town? Let's pack this joint again and make it a rowdy joint. I want to see what that happens tomorrow. Is that going to be a consistent deal for Pitt? Or was last week just a spike?
I hope so, because a couple of factors when you think about that. A week ago, the Steelers were off, so it was the only show in town. Right. Those guys are playing again. And it's a different kind of setting, right? You had the Tigers coming to town. You're excited to
play. First time ever.
Yeah, you're on ESPN. It's a 3:30 kick. Now it's a nooner against a team with a losing record. Can you keep up that energy? Because I don't think there's any question that they impacted that game and they helped Pitt win it. So, you have to be excited. Get behind this team. They deserve it. And as you said, football town, it's your nature. What else is there to do on a Saturday?
Exactly right. All right, that's one team ranked in the top 25 in the AP. There's another one in the ACC that's looking to have one more impressive stint before the committee tells you exactly where you belong in the pecking order. That's Wake Forest. The Deacs are 7-0 for the first time since 1944. And you know what happened in 1944? They went to 7-0, and guess who they played?
Can you believe that?
Duke. That's unbelievable. And they lost. Guess who's coming to Switzerland this weekend? Duke. So, all right, Wake Forest, tag, you're it. Yeah. You just put 70 on Army last week in 17 minutes. Duke has struggled. However, Wake has had a hard time stopping the run the last 2 weeks. Here comes Mr. Durant.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because that's where I wanted to start, the defense of Wake Forest. All preseason, I'm hyping up the offense. I'm very excited. I know what special teams is going to be, and the defense was the question mark. Okay, do we have to score 40-plus a game to win? And the last 3 weeks, that answer has been yes. Those guys have had to do it. So need to see the defense get back to creating turnovers. They're one of the best in the country at turnover margin. Get that back going. And then just make plays in the run game. One interesting tidbit that they are last in the ACC in terms of run defense. If you take out the Army game, which they're specialists, that's what they do, they're still 13th. So it's not good. But a little asterisk with that pack is they played the first running attack in the ACC, the second best running attack, the fourth best, and guess who's coming to town? The third best in Duke and Mateo Durant. So you just have to think, okay, Wake Forest, if we want to make a big playoff push, a big conference championship push, we've got to be complete in all three phases. And defensively, they're going to have to step up.
You're right. I think that if you're going to take the next level, that's got to get something. You got to figure that thing out. But if I'm Duke, I said it this week on the show, I'm giving Durant the ball 40 times and say, I dare you to stop 21. And when you do, I tip my hat to you.
Right.
But we're going to hand the rock to the man. And, hey, go chase him if you can.
I don't think there's any question, especially when you see, okay, that's our biggest weakness. And so to counter that, I think Wake Forest is going to assume that load the box up. I mean, just sell out to stop the run. Trust your defensive backs. Trust your cornerbacks. Go man-to-man and load that thing up. Make a change, because something has to give here with a great offensive attack and a lackluster defense. But if you can make a change, if you can get some type of competitive advantage, let's do it. Let's see it.
I kidded around with you yesterday as we were driving to the airport that Wake Forest last week scored 9 offensive touchdowns.
Oh, no.
They had the ball for a grand total of just over 17 minutes. Our beloved alma mater, Clemson. I'm taking South Carolina State out. I'm just talking about football bowl subdivision teams, teams with a pulse. Clemson offensively has scored 10 touchdowns in regulation.
Wow.
In a season.
Little discrepancy in offenses.
In a season. Wake had 9 in 17 minutes last weekend.
It goes to show you the explosion. I mean, I don't think there's any question that Clemson's offense has struggled severely and just how good Wake Forest has been. And it's not a bunch of 4 and 5 stars rolling around. These are guys that this coaching staff has developed,
yep,
that have worked their tail off and honestly might be the best trio, for sure duo. You know, Marin is kind of, you know, not falling off a little bit, but production-wise is down just a bit. But Roberson, A.T. Perry, I mean, freaky. Imagine if those guys were on an Alabama. On an Ohio State. They'd be first-round draft picks. Everybody would be talking about them. But because they're at Wake, they're under the radar, underappreciated, and have just had an unbelievable year.
You know what else is crazy about Wake Forest? Is that Kenneth Walker has just gone off at Michigan State.
Can you imagine if he was there?
Well, that's my point is, I mean, and I go back to the afternoon radio show a second. People are like, man, this Kenneth Walker is great. I said, dude, he was great at Wake Forest, right, but nobody was paying any attention, yes, to the Swiss.
Yes.
Guy was a baller.
Yeah. And it, you know, a great situation for him. And you know, Wake Forest has responded. You know,
right.
Christian Beale Smith, been a fantastic talent.
Right.
Sam will run when he needs to. But, you know, a duo of running backs behind Christian have stepped up and, you know, done what they needed offensively. The offense that Wake runs, it's just so fun to watch. That long RPO zone read, oh, I'm going to hit it right behind you. And then just the trust that Sam has. I mean, we saw 2 or 3 times, 4 touchdowns, Sam's either getting hit or on the run, and he just kind of closes his eyes, throw it up. AT's down there somewhere, and he comes up with a big touchdown.
Well, I'm happy for Hartman because,
yes,
I mean, he's, first of all, a class kid. And Wake's just put in the work, man.
Right.
They really have. And Dave Clawson, we talk about all the time, perfect fit for Wake,
yes,
Forest, understands he's not cutting any corners, great academic institution, and proving once again, guess what, you can win at Wake Forest. And he's getting the job done. And right now, everybody in the league chasing the Deacs.
He's a heck of a football coach, so underrated, undervalued. I don't want him to leave, but when you see these openings – you don't ever hear his name. And I think it's such a shame that, you know, people would rather hire a big name, a sexy name, instead of a football coach, instead of a guy that wins and has proven results. And, you know, it's good for us because I want to keep him as long as we can because he is a fantastic football coach.
No question about it. So Wake Forest hosts Duke. Pittsburgh hosts Miami. Those are your two teams ranked this week in the AP poll. But we eliminate the AP poll Tuesday night with the committee. And, again, you got to go take care of your business. There's no guarantees. The one thing we keep telling you about in college football, if you're a ranked team, beware. 52 of you have lost at some point in time through the first 8 weeks of the college football season. When we come back, we're talking about NC State-Louisville. Big game. It's our primetime game here on ACC Network, presented by GEICO. And, of course, Virginia BYU. Bronco Mendenhall, a little homecoming of sorts, goes out to beautiful Provo, Utah. We'll come back, discuss that, and get ready for Mike Bray in about 15 minutes. Guys, right here on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Here's our college football lineup for tomorrow right here on ACC Network and the ESPN app. Fresh off their big win against Clemson, Kenny Pickett and number 17 Pittsburgh. They sit atop the Coastal Division. They'll host Miami. They're looking for another upset. We'll see what happens on that bad boy. Then, get ready, number 13 Wake Forest. They've got Duke coming to Switzerland. Should be outstanding. And we cap it off on the ACC Network, the primetime matchup presented by GEICO. Devin Leary and the NC State Wolfpack hosting Malik Cunningham and Louisville. Should be a good one tomorrow night. Good stuff.
It's a good slate, man.
Yeah, good
really
combination
good
of games.
Absolutely.
No doubt about it. All right, let's talk about NC State. Tough loss last week. You know, Dave Dorn spent some time the week before talking about, man, we need more respect nationally. And you're like, hey, just go take care of your business, right?
Yeah.
Go take care of your business. And you know what? Give Miami credit. They showed up. They were ready to play right from the first quarter. They beat the Wolfpack by 1. But still, NC State controls everything in front of them. You win out, you're going to Charlotte playing for an ACC title.
That is the most important thing to remember for fans, for the team, for the coaching staff, because you need to move on quickly. You do not need to dwell on the past at all. Big test, you know, you're playing this weekend. And, you know, just remember that all your goals are still in front of you in conference, the things that you can still accomplish. So that there shouldn't be any type of, you know, lackadaisical effort or thinking about the past, dwelling on that at all. You just have to move on and understand what's in front of you. Now, it is going to be a big test. You lost one of the best leaders we've seen in the ACC in Isaiah Moore. Very unfortunate. My heart breaks for that young man. An injury starting to kind of tally up for the Wolfpack as well when you see an offensive lineman, a safety, now two star linebackers. So it's going to be a really big task pack defensively to slow down Mikael Cunningham.
We talked to Coach Satterfield this week on the show, and he loves his balance, right? They're throwing, they're running, their offensive line play has been outstanding the last couple of weeks. But Malik Cunningham, in my opinion, is the most underrated quarterback in the country. He is so dynamic. He gets to the edge. Hey, good luck. He is a problem.
Yeah, Malik, I apologize earlier calling you Mikael, but he's such a fun playmaker. The things that he can do with his legs, the fact that he is tied for first in the country with 13 rushing touchdowns, not quarterbacks, everybody. He's such a dynamic player, really getting back to that, or is. It's not back anymore. We're halfway through the season, more than that. His 2019 self, where he's so efficient, making the big plays through the air with his legs on the ground. The one thing that I'm concerned with this Louisville team, though, Pack, is the turnovers are starting to creep back in. They had four a week ago. Now, they still got the W, but if you do that against the Wolfpack, you're going to lose. It's over. And so you have to be careful with that football. Understand that you're holding 8 ounces of gold in your hand with that football.
NC State's won 7 consecutive games at home. You've played there. Carter-Finley is a great spot.
Tough, yeah.
When folks are dialed up and ready to go, and they will be tomorrow night, it's a tough venue. And I think if you're Louisville, hey, you're feeling good about the win last week because you played well against BC and got off that losing streak and got that Virginia fourth quarter out of your mouth. But they will have to play a clean game to beat NC State tomorrow night.
No question about it. And you're going to have to protect, you know, Malik. And they've done a great job doing that so far because he is so elusive. But, you know, I think of what NC State wants to do defensively now that linebacker in Isaiah Moore's out. And of course, Peyton has been out. What is it going to look like? Who is going to be the guy that, you know, is the spy? Because I assume that would have been Isaiah, how athletic, you know, he is, and understanding that Cunningham's going to be running all over the place. So now what do you try to do? Because if you go man-to-man like you like at times, those cornerbacks' heads are going to be backwards, and they're going to kill you with the quarterback run. It's going to be very interesting to see what we're going to get from that NC State Wolfpack defense.
We're sitting here on a golf course, all right? And a lot of times I think about
champion. People now can see that.
Now
before,
you
didn't know where we were.
That's exactly.
Could have been anywhere.
The abyss. We're on a beautiful golf course. And I think of golf in a sense that when you're in a tournament, you start scoreboard watching. Now, you've played at the ultimate level here in the league. Wake Forest has the lead in the Atlantic. NC State's a game back. However, they see Wake next month, and so if you win that game, you win the tiebreaker. So, everybody, do you start taking a sneak peek? Because Wake's going to play early. NC State's going to know exactly where they stand, getting ready to kick this thing off against Louisville tomorrow night on ACC Network, knowing Wake either won or lost. Do you start bothering with that, or is it just like, hey, we got to worry about Louisville, all this other stuff, we'll take care of that in November?
If you're good, if you have a great culture, you worry about yourself. You understand the situation. You understand, hey, guys, coach comes in, he says, listen, we still control our own destiny. And that's all you need to hear. So you win, you're in. You're in Charlotte. You're in the ACC championship. So for me and what I expect from this veteran-led team, this very experienced team, so many guys deciding, you know, to come back, is that they're going to handle business. And they don't need to look at that scoreboard because they understand the situation. And really, until Wake comes to town, just think that those guys are going to win out and you need to do everything you can to get yourself in Charlotte.
And State just cannot fall two back.
Exactly.
You fall two back, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, boy, just kind of let something get away from us. So, again, I think pressure on NC State tomorrow night to kind of hold serve. And for Satterfield, the boys, hey, they're playing with confidence. They like their whole game plan. They're running. They're throwing. Their defense is playing well. It's a terrific game.
Yeah, it will be. And I think the last piece for Louisville is that defense continuing to play better. You know, statistically, we're worse in the conference at a lot of different categories. But those guys force turnovers. They create opportunity as well. So that's why you see some of these games that Louisville might have, you know, 2, 3, 4 turnovers. Well, their defense also gets 2, 3, 4 as well. And so, you know, I think that'll be a big piece because Devin Leary, he's not throwing picks. He's not turning that ball over. And so if you can force him to do so, you've got to think that this thing can turn into a track meet quickly.
Totally agree. Provo, Utah will probably be warmer than it is in South Bend. But this is a big game. This is a big game for a lot of reasons. Number one, ACC reputation. Number two, Brendan Armstrong is putting up stupid circus-like numbers. They're fun to watch. And Bronco Mendenhall goes back home. Was the head coach at BYU. It's been a while, but, man, I think this game is flying underneath the national radar. I think it's got the potential of being shootout, crazy plays all over the place. It won't be a headliner when you got cocktail parties and the big games going on in the Big Ten. But this is going to be a fun game tomorrow night.
It really will. And a couple of things that I'm interested to see. Number one, how does Bronco, you know, handle this situation, this moment? Is there nervous energy that maybe translates to the team? Just knowing him as you know, as we do, I don't think that'll be the case. But that's a big deal. You're going home for the first time, a place that you were 11 years, won 99 games, really did so much for that program. And now you're coming back as the visitor, as the opponent. So that's got to be a weird thing for him, just emotionally and handling all that. And then, of course, looking at that offense for Virginia. Can they take the show on the road? These guys have been playing at an unbelievably high level, really just impressed with their performance over and over again. And then can BYU keep up with that? You know, we've seen them struggle a little bit offensively. They want to ground and pound. They have a great running back that's been able to do so. If Virginia gets out and gets out early, I don't think BYU can keep up.
Well, here's the thing, though. Virginia defensively has had some issues. They're next to last in the ACC in terms of yards per play. You know, they shut out Duke a couple weeks ago. This game feels like high scoring to me because I know what Virginia's going to do. They're going to throw it all over the yard and say, hey, good luck trying to figure us out. But defensively, if Virginia brings the A game, it can slow them down a little bit. I think they're in business. However, Virginia has lost 10 consecutive games against ranked teams. Mentally, you got to get over that hurdle.
You do. And okay, first to start the season, it was just an away game in general. You were terrible on the road. Now you're turning that around. Now this is the next hurdle. And when I was playing at Clemson, there was a long list of things that we couldn't do that we just checked off one by one. And that's what we're seeing, you know, from this Virginia team. And this is the next one.
Yeah, it's going to be good stuff. All right, quick break. We come back. One of our all-time favorites. He just pulled up at his Buick. That means it's time for Mike Bray.
Nice Letterman jacket. He's looking good.
He's
man.
Ready to go,
he's
brother. He's got the look. This is like balmy South Bend. Mike Bray joins us next, Packer and Durham, right here on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Hoop season right around the corner. We'll have our Nothing But Net Women's Season Preview Show for you. That's Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll have extensive breakdowns of all 15 teams right here on ACC Network and the ESPN app. One app, one tap. Nobody covers the ACC like we do. By the way, speaking of hoops, we're going to go a little fake left, go right. I saw the Buick pull up. I said, I know that Buick.
Yeah, that's
Mike
right.
Bray interviews on Packer and Durham. I that Buick's famous for
that's my studio. My studio.
I love it. What's going on?
Good morning, man. Good to be with you. This is a typical, this is basketball weather in South Bend. Cloudy and rainy. Thank God I'm in a gym in shorts in my sport
well,
for practice.
You have figured it out. But you know what? I like being out in the elements. I just like being out of the basement for the first time in God knows how long. But I like being in the elements, even though it finally stopped raining. And, you know, you're probably like me, Coach. You know, we don't need this 3K, 5K, 10K. But you know what? Runners love this stuff.
God, they love it. And they love running in this.
I know.
They're better in this. They don't want the sun out.
No.
It's a different breed of cat. And that's why we grew up in gyms, you know, and controlled atmosphere.
Well, it's great being back. It really is. I spent a lot of time here, believe it or not, from my first job out of college. You and I were kidding around about it during the break. And Karen Phelps, who was Digger's daughter, was a good bud. And We did a lot of stuff here. And, of course, good to see Digger. I hope Digger's rocking and rolling.
Digger turned 80, 4th of July, and he was at practice the other day last week. Doing great. Gave me 3 out-of-bounds plays, so I know he's back. He's ready to roll.
Are you guys ready to roll?
We are. You know, I'm excited about our team, Mark, because we got some men back. You know, we're old. And we invested in this senior class as freshmen and took our punches. And, you know, it's a really neat group. How about this statistic? We will award 7 degrees. 7 kids will get degrees, a graduate degree by Paul Atkinson, the Yale grad transfer, and then 6 undergraduates. So that's a neat stat, but they've all played a lot. They know how to play, and, you know, let's go. I mean, tonight we got a little exhibition, so I'm excited about sitting on the same bench, putting the jerseys on, and seeing what we look like when we substitute.
Well, when we saw you at the ACC tip-off a couple weeks ago in Charlotte, you talked about, we talked to all the coaches about, hey, what does a roster look like, right? I mean, everybody's kind of looking around. I know fans are, we are, and even coaches are like, well, we got this guy over here, this guy left, this guy's in. We'll kind of figure it out when we roll the ball out. But you talked about, hey, I got an old, experienced team, and normally that combination's been good for you.
That's good for us, getting old and staying old, and we're into one of those old rotations that have really benefited us. We probably are the most known roster in the ACC. Yeah. If you ask other ACC coaches, they know us because we got our guys coming back. But yet the rest of the league, it's like we talked a couple weeks ago, you just don't know. I've got to see a couple people play here in December and go, how'd they get that guy? Right. Where'd they get that guy from? But that's the world we're in now.
Hard to believe. November 9th, I mean, it's sneaking up on us. I mean, October is gone by the time we get back to work on Monday. And here comes November, and while we sit there with the countdown and the College Football Playoff Committee coming out with their poll Tuesday night, which kind of is the signal of, hey, we're coming down the stretch drive, basketball just sneaks right on in there, and it's off to the races.
We're off. We're going ready to go. We've got Cal State Northridge. Then we've got Tubby Smith and High Point in our second game coming to town. And then we go to the Maui Classic in Vegas. So that's where that's going to be moved to. And
you can wear shorts in both.
Oh, I've got to wear. I told our local media, I said, I'm still wearing shorts. I said, I got to do it. So St. Mary's right out of the gate, Oregon, Butler, you know, and Kentucky here at home, Illinois on the road, Indiana and Indianapolis. It's coming at us, but you know, with an old experience group, let's go, man. Let's play big games.
I know you talked to us a couple weeks ago when we had you, and you talked about maybe last year might have overscheduled. And you just don't know. We're going through COVID, and you didn't know where the world was going to go from a scheduling standpoint. How we're getting games in, how's this going to work out? I know you looked back at that and said, all right, let me adjust. I mean, you're allowed to adjust on the fly here.
Yeah. I thought, you know, last year, just play. Heck, we opened with Michigan State on the road because there was all these reschedulings and cancelizations. Probably overwhelmed our group a little bit. Of course, you could look at our schedule this year and say, Mike, it's not much different when you look at the overall picture. But, you know, kids want to play big games and strength of schedule and net and all that stuff. And, of course, then we have to play 20 league games now, which is daunting. We have 2 road games in the ACC in December as well. So, but kids want to play big games. So here they come. And, you know, I believe we'll be very ready.
All right. It's a football weekend here. Right, North Carolina comes to town tomorrow. Mack Brown in his 400th game. Brian Kelly's done an amazing job, right, with the DNA, the championship DNA here. As the basketball coach, kind of walk us through how you take advantage from a recruiting perspective. What's it like from a basketball world during a football weekend?
Well, you know, it's my 22nd football fall, and so I have the rhythm down pretty good. But there is no question the energy around a home football weekend when you are entertaining prospects and their families and just the overall buzz and people at practice, even our players, we practice better on football weekends because there's a bounce and a vibe on campus, and we let people in. So I love it. I've got it down to a science. I've got my tailgating spot. You know,
where is that, Bob?
Well, we do our own little basketball tailgate, but you're invited to come. It's right outside our practice facility.
Well, if I was here tomorrow, I'm in.
Yeah, oh, you'd be there. You'd be there. I stay out of the parking lot tailgating because, you know, that gets – when I retire, I'm going to be in the tailgate parking lot all the time.
So, you know, McLean has never been here. So,
really?
Yeah, so we landed last night at midnight, and of course it's raining, it's, you know, and we're going to the hotel. I said, Eric, let's go see the stadium. You've never been to this place. Go left instead of right. Go left. He goes, what are you talking about? I said, the stadium's right there. And so we were driving around. We were the only people moving on campus last night. But the Golden Dome, I mean, it's just gorgeous. And the leaves haven't quite turned yet, but they will here in a couple of weeks. And it's a stunningly beautiful campus.
Yeah, I've been so fortunate 22 years on this campus. And, you know, get out and you walk it, or you get out in the summer and exercise on it, you go, I'm pretty darn lucky.
Yeah.
And it'll be buzzing this afternoon. It'll be buzzing tomorrow. And I know a lot of Carolina fans are coming to town. I've heard from a bunch from Tobacco Road.
You know, I remember I told you my first job out of college, we had the television rights, syndication rights for Notre Dame football and basketball. So I've spent a lot of time here. And when you come here, and this is a bucket list spot, and I've always told folks, whether you're going for a hoop game or football or cross country, whatever the case may be, but when you hear the band on game day, right, and they're playing, and it just resonates through the campus, it's just one of those moments that, you're so used to hearing, dun, 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 dun. It does. It gives you goosebumps.
Mark, I still, 22 years in, when I hear our band on game day play our victory march, definitely goosebumps. And there's no better feeling when you hear our band and you're at an NCAA tournament and you're walking down the tunnel and it's a smaller version, obviously. They'll be marching tonight. They'll be doing their concerts. And when they come down that tunnel, it's really powerful, really cool. And a night game takes on another, a life of its own. We weren't really into the night games 8, 9, 10 years ago, and it's been really a neat addition.
What do you think is going to be the most surprising thing that we're going to see, though, in hoops? I mean, you've now had a couple of weeks of practice here. You really don't know yet till you see some games here. And I know we kidded around a little bit a couple of weeks ago about this, but, do you hear anything else? Other coaches talking about secret practices? I saw this. Or do you guys keep it pretty close to the vest?
You know, the couple of those secret scrimmages, went off last weekend. We're going to do two exhibitions instead. You know, you're getting some box scores and you're getting some vibes on stuff, but you're not going to really. I like to watch the ACC, and that's the great thing about the network. You know, I can see everybody play in the first 2 weeks. You know, we get some footage on people. So I'm kind of getting ready for 2 weeks where you start to see the ACC teams playing different games. But right now it's still a little silent. I think the football, once they come out with the rankings on Tuesday, then, people start thinking about basketball a little bit. But our league, it was, what is this, year 8 or 9 for us in the league. It's been great for our program. It's been amazingly challenging. I've loved it for our basketball program.
20 league games, is that going to stay?
I think we'll stay with 20. You know, it gives a lot of inventory to the network, as it should, to play a lot. I don't think we would bump that up anytime soon. People still want some non-league flexibility to play some things. So 20 is a pretty good number, and it's daunting. It really is. You know, you're playing 2 in December, and just trying to survive and bounce back and not get too high after a good win and not get too low after you take a punch in this league, because you take them.
No, there's no doubt. I mean, that's just the nature. It's been that way since dirt.
Yeah,
when we started this league.
Yes, it has.
By the way, as far as your tailgate goes, do you have a go-to, or do you just stay out of the way?
You know,
are you involved? I mean, really involved?
Oh, no, I'm not involved. I'm, as a veteran coach, I've learned to delegate that. But I know where the ribs are.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And I know where the mac and cheese is.
No, so you just answered the question. That's the go-to.
The ribs and the mac and cheese. You know, I let everybody get their food. And I like when the game starts and people start going into the game, no one needs my attention anymore, and that's when I swoop in.
Well, that's the way. That's a veteran move.
That's big-time veteran
move. Because, you can be Mr. Hospitality. Everybody get theirs and all that stuff, and then, oh my God, it's 20 minutes till kick, let's go. And that's when you come in, and it's easy.
Nobody's messing with me. I got my privacy. I'm a veteran now.
That is the way you're supposed to do it, because everybody thinks it's the exact opposite. I mean, let me get mine first. No.
Let them go.
You have fun.
Let them have fun.
You have fun. All right, the Buick. And we kidded around about the Buick, because the last time we did an interview with you,
I was on the road.
You were on the road, and all of a sudden we saw you in the Buick, and I said, you know what? Only Bray can pull this off. And I kid you not, I know it was dark when you pulled in. When I saw the Buick coming, I said, oh, there's our boy Bray. Yes. I know that Buick anywhere.
Well, it's nice to be in a real studio, but next time we talk during the season, we'll have to do it from the Buick just for karma's sake.
Well, nobody else has that.
Yeah.
Nobody else has that.
We're talking as I'm driving into practice, but it's going to be a fun weekend. You know what's been neat about us playing 5 ACC football programs? Tobacco Road has been coming through here to watch their football teams and really experienced our campus and our football weekends. And I don't know how many people from my old ACC roots go, man, that's a cool weekend up there.
It is. I've said that before, because when you walk, the campus is gorgeous. But like I said, when you hear the fight song for the first time, and the way the tailgating is lined up, everything's around the stadium, it's easy. I mean, it really is. It's a piece of cake getting in and out and all that stuff. But when you hear that fight song for the first time, even as a visitor, you're like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's like, all right, that's a good victory march. You know, you gotta all right, that's a good fight song.
Pretty cool. Yeah, you go ahead and eat the ribs first. I'll catch you on the return with all that stuff. All right, anything else we need to know?
No,
we're good.
Thing?
You know anything about this cross-country?
I don't know anything about it.
You know Coach Carlson? Have you met him before?
Coach is great. He has done a great job with our program. And I know it's a quick race, right? 25 minutes,
that's
boom, boom, and we're going to give a trophy out real quick.
You know I'm driving the chariot of champions.
Are you really?
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. I mean,
they say it goes 20 miles an hour. That might beat that Buick.
I think it could beat the Buick, but I was going to come back here. It's at 10, right? We're going to launch it at 10.
I was going to ride shotgun with us?
Yeah. No, I don't think I'm going to ride shotgun with you.
Well, just look at the thing.
Is it pretty good?
It's right behind you.
Is there any ribs and macaroni and cheese in there?
Well, that's up to 8. Wait a minute. That's where I was thinking the veteran leadership was coming into play. A man of
I may get some to-go stuff, and we'll just ride.
Now you're talking. I mean, we've been sitting here working since 6 a.m.
I know.
You come back with some ribs
covered.
And some macaroni and cheese. You and I'll sit in the back row and let somebody else drive that sucker.
I got you covered. I got you covered.
I love it. All right. Hoops getting cranked up here again about 10 days away. It's going to be outstanding from that perspective. Mike Bray hanging out with us. We're going to talk to the commissioner, Jim Phillips, in about a half an hour or so. Looking forward to that. They had all the big meetings here.
You
had to be on your good behavior this week.
You know, Jim was my first sport administrator here.
How about that?
I'm a basketball guy, so we go way back. And I'm very excited about his leadership with our league, because the man is shot out of a cannon every day. He is going to work it and move it, and I'm excited to see where our league goes with his leadership.
You know, every time I've seen him, he's suit and tie.
He don't mess around now.
He's a businessman.
He's on it. He's on it.
He comes in here today, suit and tie?
He's going to be ready to roll.
This is his first championship. You said this is the first championship.
This is his first championship to award the trophy. That's true.
Yep.
Well, I love him. We go way back, and he's a hoops guy. Remember, he started as a hoops guy. So, you know, when he talks to the basketball coaches, he kind of speaks the language.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, we got to take a quick break here. I always appreciate the time, as always.
Good to be with you.
Look forward to the ribs and the mac and cheese about 10:30 this morning, one way or the other. We come back. We're going to talk with Hannah Steelman, who, by the way, will be running with the ladies, NC State. Absolutely brilliant runner. And, again, the ladies get started this morning at 10 a.m. The men get started at 11. And we'll have all that for you right here on ACC Network. Mike Bray, appreciate that. Got Jim Phillips later on. Max back with me. We got football to get into. It's Packer and Durham live from beautiful South Bend, Indiana, right here on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham live from beautiful South Bend, Indiana. Appreciate Mike Bray stopping by. The Buick's now zipping out of here. The commissioner of the ACC, Jim Phillips, will join us coming up here in about 15 minutes. But a few weeks ago, NC State star cross-country runner Hannah Steelman joined us back on the show on Packer and Durham. And she was a little concerned to hear that I am going to be the rabbit for the ACC championships.
You get the best seat in the house. I'll just, you know, try to get as close to you as I can when I'm racing. So,
well, you know, I have been studying the Notre Dame cross country field because I need to do my homework. You just can't show up and drive that thing.
Oh my God, look at this. Oh, Hannah, have we done this to you? I'm sorry. That's a Packer and Durham license plate on the front of the ATV. Oh my heavens. Oh,
that is the Packmobile, by the way. That's not just a golf cart. That's not an ATV. Oh. It's the Packmobile.
All right.
So I've been studying this layout, Hannah, and so I don't want to just show up and any monkey could drive a golf cart. You got to really study the course. So with that said, any info that you could pass along to the rabbit would be certainly appreciated.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty flat. So, you know, you don't have to worry about making it up any hills or anything. But we'll be moving pretty fast. So you just got to make sure you don't get in our way.
Well, I've been known to possibly
go over the speed limit from time to time in the Ford F-150. So I don't think this is going to be a problem in the Packmobile. I'm excited. Lead foot that bad boy and let's go. Ready? Let's do it.
Yeah, full speed ahead. Yeah, right. Put that baby into fast gear.
Okay, Hannah, let's get back to the nuances that the competitors are looking for in the lead cart here, though. Are you looking for a good pace out front? You run at the front a lot. What do you
speed?
No, we're not easy over there, Mario Andretti. All right, now we're
starting to come around.
What are we looking for though to make this a competitive field? What's he got to keep in mind besides the fact he wants to put the pedal to the floor?
Yeah. Well, I have a feeling you'll see a lot of Wolfpack up there. We've been really into the pack running this year, and we run really deep. In every race so far, there's been a lot of whatever color we're wearing, whether it's red or black. I mean, you'll see like five wide of that uniform. So hopefully you'll see a lot of us up there. But, I mean, the ACC has some good competition, lots of fast girls. So I have a feeling the front pack will just be full of different color uniforms for a while and stuff. I would expect to see a really good showdown next Friday.
Hannah, from a weather standpoint, does it matter to a cross-country runner? Hot, cold, windy, wet? Is that a big deal or not?
Yeah, so, I mean, you got to be prepared for anything. That's part of cross-country is, we don't really talk about PRs as much in cross-country because every course is just so subjective to, you know, whatever the race day conditions are. So if you have a perfect day with great conditions, you could run so much faster than a day where it's like cold rain or super muddy. So, I mean, it does make a difference, but that's part of like the mental toughness that cross country is just being prepared for anything and not really letting it get to you because everyone has to run in the same conditions on whatever day. So
you run so many different disciplines. I mean, steeplechase, you do so much from a distance perspective. Where does this kind of fit for you in terms of your overall running journey?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, especially with running steeplechase, you have to be strong because it's such a tough event physically, mentally, all that stuff. You got to be strong on so many levels. And I think cross country is pretty equivalent to that because, I mean, you're running hills every once in a while or, you know, it's so hard to tell like what every course is going to have because everything's so different. And you just need to be prepared for anything. And I think having the strength from steeplechase transitions pretty well to the cross country course. So usually you'll find that good steeplechasers are usually pretty good on the cross country course too.
Hannah, as far as training goes, walk us through that a little bit as far as making sure you peak at the right time when you run.
So usually for the first half of the season, a little over half of the season, I mean, you're just constantly running on tired legs. So that's something you just have to get used to being is uncomfortable because we're not trying to peak in our first couple races of the season. We're trying to peak later. So that means training through the hard races, keeping the mileage super high and the intensity super high. For example, after racing this past weekend, I mean, we still got up the next morning on a Saturday and did a long run, which is somewhere between like 12 and 14 miles for people. So, I mean, you just really, you know, it's true, like no days off essentially. And I guess when you get closer to championship season is when you start to cut down the mileage and just make sure that you're as rested as possible while still, you know, being prepared to
wait a second. Do now, well did you hear that? Meets. Did you hear that?
I heard 12 to 14 miles.
The day after. No. The day after the competition, we went for a long run of 12 to 14 miles.
I heard
miles.
All that.
And what do you do the day after a competition?
I didn't like the sound of any of that. I like the sound of the best. Here's what the best thing that Hannah said so far in this interview. You're going to have the best seat.
Yeah. Well,
period.
Remember, Hannah is also responsible for the line of distinction on this show in her last appearance when she said, okay, now you can get to the mailbox, right?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Hannah said, you can get to the mailbox, right?
Yeah.
Okay, the question is,
I have.
Can you get to the mailbox?
I've gotten to the mailbox.
Yeah, how's that going?
How's that going?
Outstanding. And let me tell you, Hannah, it's uphill. So I've really had to pace myself to get over it. But that 12 to 14 miles after the fact, nah, that's not on the agenda.
Well, yeah.
Unless the Packmobile's gassed up, ready to roll.
I'm going to take the uncomfortable portion of the discussion. You just got to get uncomfortable with what you're doing when you have tired legs. Now, though, as you said, you're going into championship phase. You guys have had, and I was going to ask you about this. You said you run together in a cross-country event. You guys have a great competitive nature, and I think some saw that on the All Access ACC show we had a couple of weeks ago here, and Coach Hennis was talking about the competitive nature, and you and your teammates seem to have a very good competitive spirit about an individual sport being a collaborative effort.
Yeah, that's the nice thing about this team is that it's certainly healthy competition. Like, we're not trying to beat each other in workouts to, like, dig at each other. It's just because we want to make each other better and we want to be the best that we can be. And it's a really cool opportunity that I have that my biggest competition or some of my biggest competition are my own teammates. Because then I have the advantage of getting to train with them every day and, you know, work on my, you know, weaknesses to try to match their strengths. And that's just... Yeah, like I said, like a really cool opportunity because on race day, I think that'll really pay off.
Hannah Steelman, always love having her on the show. And, of course, the Wolfpack, the ladies, looking for their sixth consecutive ACC Women's Cross Country Championship. Again, all that gets started at 10 a.m. right here on ACC Network. All right, speaking of the weekend, because it's almost upon us, how about the Bojangles weekend menu? Because we have a busy, busy plethora of things for you to check out, including, as I said, at 10 a.m. this morning, get it all over you, the ACC Cross Country Championships, the women at 10, the men get started at 11 a.m. We've got it all right here. And then, of course, you've got Syracuse, Louisville, field hockey at 3 o'clock, Notre Dame at Duke, and volleyball at 5 p.m., Louisville at Clemson, men's soccer at 7 p.m., football Saturday loaded. We talked about the triple header here on ACC Network. Starts at noon Eastern time with Miami at Pittsburgh, followed up with Duke at Wake Forest at 4 p.m. Eastern time, Louisville at NC State at 7:30. And then, of course, Sunday, the ACC Women's Soccer Championships. All the games are on ACC Network beginning at 6 p.m. So a busy, busy weekend, a little bit of everything. But just saw the Commissioner Jim Phillips stop by. He's going to join us leading off the Power Hour. And we got a lot of things to talk about because it's been a busy week. Had all the fall meetings here in South Bend. And so we'll get into that. And Eric McLean will be breaking down more football games and all that good stuff. So quick break. We come back. ACC Network live from South Bend. The Cross Country Championships. And right behind me, you know it, the Chariot of Champions. We're taking that bad boy for a spin before we start the races at 10 o'clock. All that's coming up right here. Packer and Durham on ACC Network. Get it all over you.
Packer and Durham.